Gracious God, God of calm and clarity, quiet the noise that drowns out your voice. Help us release every worry into your capable hands. Let your word remind us that you provide all we need. Fill our hearts with peace that passes understanding. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus and his disciples went on their way. Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha lived. She welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's table, at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was busy with all the things that had to be done. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, my sister's left me to do all the work all by myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Really, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Let this message reach those who need it. In Jesus' name, amen. I constantly have too many browser windows open on my computer. My husband's always fussing at me. Too many apps open on my phone, and wonder why the battery is drained and it's taking so long to do a simple Google search. That's kind of like how anxiety works. There's too many things going on at the same time, and it's hard to think straight. Welcome to week 4 of the Inside Out series, where we've been digging into the gift of our emotions and what it means to let God shape us from the inside out. Here's a quick summary, and I'm using slides this morning, so bear with our tech guy in the back as he follows along with us. So far, we've been on quite the emotional roller coaster. In week 1, we talked about fear, how it can keep us safe, but it's not meant to be in charge. In week 2, we faced anger, how it's not a sin to feel angry, but it matters what we do with it. Anger helps us notice real or perceived injustice, and when we let the Spirit lead us, God helps us to know how to handle our anger and maybe use it for good. Last week, we wrestled with envy and how comparison keeps us outside the party God wants us to join. In Inside Out, joy has to learn that sadness has a place, and we'll talk more about sadness next week. But in Inside Out 2, joy has to fight to stay a part of the team, because when Riley hits puberty, alarms start ringing and anxiety takes over. When anxiety shows up, it's chaos at the console of Riley's mind. Too many voices, too much pressure, too little peace. On the first week, I asked you to write down your fears and place them in a basket, to let them go and remember that when you're afraid, you can put your trust in God. I still have those cards that you wrote on. I may not know who wrote what, but I have been praying through them each week that we have gone through this series. The difference between fear and anxiety is whether the danger is an immediate threat or a future concern. You feel fear when you're trying something new for the first time, like ice skating, and you don't know what it's going to be like when you fall on the ice. Or, you know, if you're hiking and you come across a mountain lion, that's what fear feels like. The disciples were afraid when they were in the boat with Jesus and he was sleeping through the storm. Anxiety, however, is when you're signed up to try out for the hockey team and you can't sleep the night before because you don't know if you'll be any good and you might be embarrassed. Anxiety rises to the surface when you're out of control of what the future holds, but you can't stop thinking about it. Or when you're responsible for too many things all at the same time and you don't know how to do it all. Many of the things you wrote down in the first week of this series are anxious fears, real problems in your life that may be coming down the pike, may be happening right now. And today we'll talk about how anxiety is and how is real and how we can center ourselves in Jesus and the truths that he provides for our lives. Anxiety affects us all, and it's not just in your head. Nearly one in five adults in the U.S. experiences an anxiety disorder each year. For teenagers, the number's even higher. About one in three will struggle with anxiety before they turn 18. Women are nearly twice as likely as men to report anxiety, and anxiety among youth has risen by more than 60% in the last decade. Many people live with anxiety quietly, doing their best to hold it all together on the outside while feeling totally overwhelmed on the inside. And yet only a fraction of those who experience clinical anxiety seek help. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we bring it to church, because God cares about every part of us, mind, body, and spirit. And peace in Christ is more than a feeling, it's a promise. Anxiety is something we all feel from time to time. It's part of being human. But sometimes that anxiety grows too heavy and constant. When it interferes with your ability to live, rest, and feel safe, it may be more than stress. It may be an anxiety disorder. And that's something that God cares deeply about too. Anxiety is more than a mental health condition. It's an emotional overload. Too much to do, too many unknowns, too many voices in your head telling you to be everything, fix everything, hold everything together. So what happens when the pressure builds up? When the expectations don't let up? When you're trying to serve Jesus faithfully and still feel like you're falling apart? That's exactly where we meet Martha. Many of us feel like our mind's console is overcrowded with worries, responsibilities, expectations. So let's step into the story of someone whose heart was pulled in too many directions. Previously in chapter 10 in Luke's gospel, Jesus and the disciples had a successful mission where Jesus had sent 72 disciples out in pairs to spread the good news about God's kingdom, to heal the sick, to set the oppressed free, and to show a new way. And when they returned, they were invited to the home of Martha and Mary. And while the disciples were listening to Jesus, Mary did something uncommon. She sat down at Jesus' feet to listen. Entranced by his words, Martha, being a good hostess, was working hard to make sure that everything went well for Jesus and his friends. She became frustrated that her sister wasn't helping. Anybody have a sister? A lot of people have sisters. So who can relate? All those people with sisters? I know I can. Martha must have thought, must be nice sitting down there at Jesus' feet, resting. Meanwhile, I'm in the kitchen preparing the food for more than 13 people. Honestly, Martha and that older prodigal son's brother, they would probably have a lot to talk about. She was so frustrated, she actually goes in and interrupts Jesus. "Don't you care that she's making me do all the work by myself?" Jesus doesn't get annoyed or angry. He's compassionate. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." Next slide. The word "distracted" in Greek means pulled away, mentally scattered. The word "worried" means divided mind. This isn't about laziness or lack of faith. It's about divided attention. Martha was doing a good thing for a good reason. She was serving Jesus, showing her love and devotion. But she became overwhelmed and anxious when she got distracted by what her sister was doing or not doing, and maybe even a little envious. Deep down, I imagine Martha also wanted to be sitting at the Savior's feet, to be able to stop, to be able to breathe, to be able to just be in his presence. Jesus told her only one thing is needed. It wasn't a guilt trip. It was an invitation to pause, to choose presence over pressure, to trust that the meal could wait 5 minutes, that the world wouldn't fall apart if she just sat still. I relate to Martha, and I imagine most of you do too. Because this is a doing church. You do things that need to get done. You feed the hungry and you clothe our neighbors. You serve on committees and worship teams and in children's church. You are good and faithful servants who make things happen for the good of God's kingdom. And I imagine that if you're like me, it doesn't stop here at church. At home, we feel that same compulsion, because if we don't take out the trash and clean the bathroom and babysit the grandkids and file the taxes and finish the project and wrangle the group text to make a plan, who will? No one. That's right. That's the inner voice of overfunctioning, my friends. When we start believing that everything depends on us, that if we pause, something important will fall apart, that rest is a luxury that we can simply not afford, that it is not a necessity, overfunctioning takes over, anxiety takes over, and is often driven by love and responsibility. But if we're not careful, it becomes anxiety in disguise. It turns our devotion into exhaustion, our service into striving. And like Martha, we end up doing good things in a scattered way, pulled away from the presence of the very one that we are serving. And that's what Jesus sees when he says kindly, "Martha, Martha." He's not scolding her for making dinner. He's inviting her and us to come back to the center, to remember that Jesus is the real host, to remember what really matters, to choose presence over pressure. Because of John Wesley, we as Methodists believe grace isn't just what saves us, it's what sustains us. It's not just forgiveness for sin, but it's power for transformation. And it comes when it comes to anxiety, that grace shows up as a steady, loving presence that helps us recenter our scattered hearts. Doing all the Martha-like tasks that makes us good and faithful servants is not the only part of discipleship, though. Jesus showed us that too. We have to rest. We have to reflect. We have to have fun. We only get one cup, and God is the one who fills it for us. But that can only happen if we sit at the feet of Jesus long enough to let it fill. This is one of those sermons, my friends, that I am preaching as much to myself as to any of you. It wasn't long ago that we had a sermon series that was primarily about balance. Anxiety is not a useless emotion. It has a place. Like envy, it is a signal. Like envy is a signal that we need to practice more gratitude. Anxiety is a signal that we're relying on ourselves too much. So what do we do when our console is overcrowded? When the anxiety won't shut off? Even when we're doing all right, all the right things. Jesus' invitation to Martha is also an invitation to us. Sit down, breathe, remember who is really hosting the party. In the noise of life, we need practices that help us pause the panic and reclaim the peace. So what do we do when our console is overcrowded? When anxiety won't shut off? Even when we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, eating right, drinking water, going to the gym, even when we're doing all the things and we feel like I'm doing everything I can to take care of myself and I still feel lost, I still feel alone, I still feel like I'm letting everyone down, what do we do? Jesus' invitation to Martha is the same invitation he offers us. Sit down, breathe, come back to center, let me speak into the noise. And that's not just good advice, it's a spiritual discipline, and discipline is not an easy thing, it's hard. Silencing the anxiety can be hard. And Scripture gives us a practical tool to help. Next slide, Mark. Paul writes, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't just say, stop worrying. He says, turn your worry into prayer. Tell God everything. Thank him for what's still good and something begins to shift, not always in your situation, but in your spirit. God's peace becomes protection. Peter writes, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word cast means to throw off, not ignore, not minimize, release. Some of us are exhausted, not because we're weak, but because we're carrying but we were never meant to hold alone. Yesterday, I was helping with the youth. We were setting up for the social hall, and I was trying to move a table, one of those really long ones all by myself, and I couldn't quite get it high enough to get it on top of another table, and Hope came out of the social hall, and she just looks at me like, why aren't you asking for help? She helped me pick the table up and get it where it needed to go without crashing the ceiling down on top of us. Sometimes we're carrying more than we're meant to do alone. And sometimes anxiety isn't just an emotional warning signal. Sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's clinical. Sometimes we need help from a counselor, a doctor, a therapist. And that doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you're human. Seeking help is not a lack of faith. It's a faithful step towards healing. And God can work through prayer and through professionals, through Scripture and through science. So if your anxiety feels bigger than you, please know that you are not alone. And there is no shame in getting help. Because whether it's your spirit or your mind or your body, that's overwhelmed, God's grace is big enough to meet you there. Every part of you is known and loved and held. Let's trust that together, and let's trust Jesus to be at the console. And inside out, too, Riley's sense of self is shaped by her growing belief system. At the end of every day, Joy would drop memories of truth that came from her day into the belief system so that Riley would hear true things as she develops her sense of self. The core thoughts about who she is, but when anxiety takes over, that belief system gets kind of shaky. Anxiety starts dropping all kinds of things down there that make her doubt herself. And anxiety does that to us too. So here's how we'll close today. You're invited to write down two or three affirmations. If you don't have anything to write on, I've got note cards that I can give you during communion. And you're invited to write down two or three affirmations, truths about who you are in Christ. Truths that can speak back to the voices of anxiety. You don't have to come up with your own from scratch. We've provided some examples. I've got a slide, and this slide can just stay up through communion after the next song. I am loved by God. Nothing can change that. I am good at being whatever you are. You're good at, what are you good at? I am not alone. God is with me. I am a good friend. I am enough because Christ is enough. I am a kind person. I am held in grace, not driven by fear. I am beautifully made in the image of God. God's peace can quiet my anxiety. So I'm going to encourage you to write two or three things down. Keep it in your Bible. Put it on your fridge. Tape it to your bathroom mirror. And let these truths become part of your belief system. And practice remembering the core truths about who God says you are every day. It's a spiritual discipline. When anxiety tries to take over the console, may you remember you don't have to control everything. You don't have to do it all. And you just have to do likewise, what Mary was doing, sit down and listen to the Savior. Listen to the one who is already holding it all together. Let Christ quiet your spirit and let peace take root. Amen. Let us pray. God, for everything there is a time. And time is now our most precious commodity. Our clocks are always running. The poor church bells' clocks have been running so hard that they don't know what time it is anymore. Our clocks are always running from birth to death, during times of joy and sorrow, work and play, business and pleasure, speech and silence, worship and church activities. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. We are like Martha with our long to-do lists. Slow us down, Lord. And for now, simply remind us that one thing that is needful, that we carve away this time to be with you and with your people. We thank you for this time and place that we can come and rest so that we remember that you are God and we are not. God, as we hear the news, as our hearts break for the tragedies happening around the world and in our state and in our community, God, we just ask that you would give us your peace, that you would calm our fears and anxieties, that you would be with those who are in distress, that you would bring up leaders with compassion who are sent to help. God, we thank you that you are present in every situation, that you want good things for us. Help us to trust you. And lead us to pray together the prayer that guides our faith here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. Would you pray with me the breakthrough prayer on the screen? God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.